coming up on the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show.
We're going to talk about what's going on good in our garden and bad in our garden. And we'd love to hear what's going on in your garden.
As well as what you can plant for fall right now.
We also have an interview with homesteader, single mom homesteader, Amanda from Freedom Acres.
As well as your garden questions and our garden answers. Garden Radio is on the air and it all starts right now.
You are tuned in to the only vegetable gardening radio show in Milwaukee with your host, Joey Baird, who grew up in the country but now lives closer to the city, and Holly Baird, who has always been a city girl. Combined, they have over 25 years of gardening experience who believe in simple gardening practices. A gardener for all gardeners, founders of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, where they created over 800 how-to garden videos to teach others how to grow more of what they eat. Join them for the next hour as they discuss vegetable gardening and more.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOV and W293CX 106.5. Wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, whether through those particular stations, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, the radio tab on the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website, or anywhere in between. We are live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for all things gardening, containing now over 950 garden videos, short and long format, digital magazines, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and a whole lot more. Well, we are here every Saturday morning because of great companies that you'll hear throughout the program. And
Nasala Kombucha is the executive sponsor of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Nasala is made in Wisconsin with local tea and natural herbs. Look for it in the refrigerator aisle at your local grocer. If you don't see it, ask for it, because if it's not Nasala Kombucha, it's not kombucha. For more information, visit nasala.com.
And there's a number of ways in which you can contact us during the show and after the show. You can email us at twvgradio@gmail.com anytime with your questions or comments or photographs of problems, as well as hashtag TWVG on Twitter. You can just tweet us. You can send a picture and attach that hashtag TWVG, and we'll see it, as well as you can call in the ivyorganics.com hotline.
Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents, protects newly installed plants and trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit, and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit ivyorganics.com, and you can call in at 414-444-5250. And we're actually going to be talking shortly here about what's going on in our garden. So if you're around and you want to call about your garden, certainly feel free.
If you don't have a question, just say, hey, that this is doing good or this is doing bad, and we'll go from there. So it's the summer months, July. We're over halfway through our radio season one here, and we're working towards season two next year. But sometimes people think it's a lull in the gardening. There's not much to do. There's always things to do in gardening. It's kind of like living on a farm. There's always something to do, no matter how big or how small your garden is. And weeding is one of those things that always can be accomplished. Now, if you're a perfect garden, that's great. You don't have to weed. But we always find that there is weeds, whether you're in a raised bed, the containers, or the traditional ground is where it's most prevalent at.
And one thing we've noticed this year is that there's just been a ton of weeds for us.
And we thought it was just us. And then we've got notifications on YouTube with our videos indicating, hey, I have a lot of weeds too, which we've had a lot of rain. Okay. So that is a contributing factor. Even if you remove all the roots and all the weeds that you have that you see, there's still seeds in the ground that lay viable for, you know, some of them can lay viable for up to 80 years. So you disturb the soil by pulling the roots of the other plants up and getting all that cleaned up. You still have those seeds that will germinate and grow. And to get a pure, clean garden is nearly impossible unless you use something like weed cloth or weed barrier on that.
Or if you do like all straw bales or something.
That's another thing that you could do. But, you know, it's something we're going to have to deal with. And I guess it's a good thing that we have a lot of weeds because we have a lot of water. It's not like we have to manually water like every day. We're getting rain about every third day, it seems like, here.
And most of you know that water that's coming from the sky is better than what's coming out of your faucet, and your plants are going to be a lot happier.
Oh, it's a lot cheaper, too.
It's a lot cheaper, yeah, in the long run. And we haven't even set up our rain barrels yet.
Rain barrels, we haven't set up our irrigation system. Yeah, nothing. And I hope we don't have to, but August is coming, and it is the warmest part of the gardening season. Let's talk about what's going good in our garden and what's not going good. It seems, I don't want it to sound like we're bragging, because we're not. We have problems just like everybody else does in gardens, and we're going to go over some of the good things and some of the bad things. And first, we have a perennial strawberry bed. It's 150 square feet. Last year we harvested, they're June-bearing strawberries. Strawberries, there's two different varieties, June-bearing and ever-bearing. We have the June-bearing, which bear during June. And we have 150 square foot, bed. Last year we got 15 pounds of strawberries. I weighed them. I'm kind of particular about seeing what the garden provides. 15 pounds. This year we got about 6.5 to 7 pounds of strawberries. Well, the strawberries didn't produce very well. A lot of them have what appears to be died back. Now, this bed was put in 2010, long past the average life, which is about 5 to 6 years. And it got overtaken by milkweed that has naturally seeded from another patch of milkweed that's in the garden.
And just any other weed, really, because we didn't really weed it. It's kind of a mess right now.
And we have to evaluate what we want to do, whether we want to dig the whole bed up, start completely over with fresh plants next year, dig the bed up and pull out the plants that are currently growing and reestablish them and see how many more we need. But that's going to be a very daunting task. But it's compared to the strawberries we buy at the Pick Your Own Farm that we got a couple of weeks ago to the ones that we grow in our garden, night and day. Totally different. So much more sweeter and fresh and tastier.
But the ones that pick your own.
Oh, they're not bad.
Are good. I think they're
but
better than store-bought.
But you can tell.
Right. Yeah. But either way, we do have to make the decision. And I think that we should just start kind of fresh. But we'll have to see.
Yes. So that's kind of a bad thing. A good thing is potatoes. Potatoes are looking incredibly well in our garden right now. Potatoes like water. We've had plenty of it. And we've got very good potatoes. They flowered, I'd say, in the next 3 weeks. We should be harvesting potatoes. We have them in containers and in the ground, and both look incredibly well compared to what we've had in years past.
And if any of this sounds similar or different to you, please feel free to tweet to us or call in at 444-5250 or send us an email. We're interested to know the same. Like Joey mentioned, we're getting a lot of the weeds, which a lot of people are saying, but who knows what everybody else is experiencing.
Sunchokes are good, which is not a very popular crop. It's a root tuber that's related to the sunflower that's edible. It's good for diabetics. Talk with your physician about that before you decide to consume them. Beets and carrots, doing okay. They're not super due, but they're okay. Tomatoes, we've already got a couple of tomatoes.
The tomatoes are doing okay, or doing good.
They look very, very good.
Which is great. That's definitely
we get a lot of water, which that's the key to all of this. A natural penetrating rainwater, it'll saturate the soil and be more evenly distributed than if you just had a soaker hose or you just sprayed it with a water hose for 20 minutes. It's just the way nature works. It's so much better.
Is there, you know, when it comes to something like the beets and carrots, since they're just doing okay, do you think there's a reason why?
Well, we have them in containers, and the containers do dry out much, much quicker than the actual ground, and we did lack on watering the containers for a while, and that did stress the carrots out, and the beets are a hit and miss. I'm not really quite sure why the beets are not as prevalent as they should be. Now, we're going to plant more beets today in where the peas were. That didn't do very good, and we'll talk about that. So when you hear what didn't do good, we're not, you know, PBS or HGTV, or P. Allen Smith, yeah, where there's never a fail and everything's perfect and rainbows and lollipops. It doesn't happen that way. We show the real deal. There's things that do not work, and we rely on.
And we did a video on that recently about 4 of our major fails, and that would include the peas, which didn't do very well, which was because of low germination.
The ones that did grow did and still are producing pods very, very nice. But that's only probably about 20% germination of what we actually planted. And the reason being, it wasn't because M.I. Gardner's seeds were bad. It was because we didn't use a lot of his seeds. We tried to save seeds from last year, and they were very small, and they just didn't have the germination capabilities of what good, healthy seed peas should have. So that was our fault. And again, we planted them earlier than we probably should have because the soil was moist and extremely cold. Peas can take very cold temperatures, but I think we were too far beyond that, and we waited. We should have waited longer.
Right, and one thing we have listed here is the garlic, which we just harvested last week, and that was definitely kind of hit and miss. One bed we had really good garlic, and the other it was just kind of sad.
Which that bed that we and the video came out on Tuesday of that, this past Tuesday, it's on the website. The garlic that didn't do well, it was in a bed that now, as we look back, we thought we did okay in building the soil up with shredded leaves, fertilizer, compost, and we really didn't. And that was the end result, the bad small garlic that we had. Now, I've recently worked that bed, fertilized it, put compost on top of it, and then we've planted bush beans, which fix their own nitrogen, which should help and do very well in that bed because of that. So the garlic, we didn't have bad garlic. I don't want to say we had bad garlic.
It was just smaller than we expected.
We always expect, you know, garlic the size of little babies' heads, but, you know, it just doesn't work that way in nature. We always have a high expectation. When we go below that, we're a little disappointed, and then we try to figure out why it didn't do what we had hoped it would do. Bush beans are now doing very, very good. Pole beans are doing now very, very good. But we had a rough start with those because of cutworms, snails, and I believe it was slugs that were eating holes in the leaves and really hurting them. So I had to replant several of them twice in order to get those established.
And one thing that's doing really well is the celery.
Celery is absolutely, if you like celery, we got plenty of that. A lush, green, beautiful celery. Cabbage did no good at all, which we had very little success with cabbage. But also, Hollywood, at farmer's market, what you can buy, like a 10-pound head of cabbage for like $2? Is that
well, it just kind of depends on when and where you go. But, yeah, you can find cabbage for pretty cheap at the farmer's
market. And you want to realize that, you know, for us, we don't grow broccoli or cauliflower because we can't. It just doesn't work for us. But we can buy it for very inexpensive at the farmer's market, and we can utilize that space for something more important. Like a tomato plant that will produce 15 to 20 pounds of tomatoes over a growing season. Same thing with cabbage. It's, you know, we play around with one or two plants, and every year we try to learn a little bit more. But sometimes it's just you've got to know what your limits are and the space you have available and go, I can put something more productive in this spot with
so
them.
One thing I wanted to touch on was the leaf miners.
Leaf miners are a moth or a fly.
Well, what they are the larvae from flies and moths are laid onto the leaves of things like, it was on our Swiss chard, and it can be on greens, and then what happens is those larvae hatch, and then they basically suck the life out of those greens.
Right, and you'll have patchiness of dead leaves as well as then patchiness of green leaves. It eats the cell walls and destroys chunks of leaves of your plants, and it can actually hurt. If enough get in there, it can kill the plant because the plant doesn't get the sunlight that it needs to photosynthesize. So that is something you can cold press neem oil will fix that by spraying cold press neem oil on that. Also, if you use a floating row cover at the time of planting, that will work. Also, as we get later on in the season, we'll talk more about what we can plant right now for fall. That should not hurt as bad because a lot of those reproductive cycles are about over for those early or for those insects, so we don't have to worry that much about having that effect on the plants.
And real quick, we planted that rhubarb in the container.
We always talk about rhubarb. That's like the number one thing we talk about on this program, rhubarb.
I'm not sure why, but anyway. It got wind damage because it was in that container, and because it was elevated about 18 inches off the ground. We had it looked really good this spring, and then after, I don't know, well, end of June, then it started to just look worse, and I think it's because of the wind damage. So if you ever do try the rhubarb in a container, you might want to consider putting it next to a house or a shed or something or a garage to help reduce that wind damage.
So those are just some of the things that have done good for us and then some of the things that have not done good for us. And the weeds, we talked about that earlier. Since it's rained, it works very well to remove the weeds and getting all the roots with a garden fork or a trowel. You want to get all those root follicles out because those will repropagate new plants. but now is the time. Take one bed or one section at a time. And that's what we are going to be doing, taking a little bit at a time and working through the garden and evaluating where the weeds are and why they're there and trying to put some type of reasoning behind that. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about things that you could, should, and can be planting right now for your fall harvest. Yeah, we can get stuff planted, and it will be ready before winter comes here in southeast Wisconsin. We'll discuss all of that right after this.
Have a gardening question? Email Joey and Holly at twvgradio@gmail.com.
Beans and Barley Marketing Cafe, a neighborhood specialty grocery store for the east side of the greater Milwaukee area, where you can find all you need, from fresh produce to bakery to organic frozen dinners, from wine to fresh squeezed carrot juice. A health food store with hundreds of products, vitamins, supplements, bath and body items, magazines, cards, books, and a knowledgeable staff. Catering available, open daily at 8 a.m. The restaurant serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with a menu of good, healthy, homemade food, including vegetarian and non-vegetarian specialties. 1901 East North Avenue, Milwaukee, 414-278-7878. And online at beansandbarley.com.
The River West Co-op Grocery and Cafe is proud to support the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener and a lot of other Wisconsin growers as well. The co-op offers a wide range of local and organic produce in their store and on their cafe menu, from apples to yogurt and everything in between. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekends, at the corner of Clark and Frackney in Milwaukee's River West neighborhood. See what is in store and check out the Co-op Cafe's delicious vegetarian menu at riverwestcoop.org.
Mycorrhizae is a beneficial fungus from plantsuccess.com that will greatly increase your plant's germination ability and a healthier root structure. You can increase seed sprouting, root growth, and general plant germination. Mycorrhizae can be used with hydroponics, root cutting, seed sprouting, coco coir, and soil. Plantsuccess.com carries powder, granule, and tablet forms of mycorrhizae. Increase the level of mycorrhizae in your soil for your plants to give them the optimal opportunity to produce an incredible harvest. For more information and to purchase, visit plantsuccess.com.
I want a garden center that listens to and understands my needs.
I want to buy my gardening products from a local business with strong ties to the community.
All I want is a garden center that truly values their customers.
It seems like everyone is selling plants these days, but I'm having a hard time finding quality.
I take pride in my garden, so I want my garden center to take pride in their products.
Where will you be going for all of your gardening needs this season? Blue Mel's Garden Center. We are your answer.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Julie and Holly Baird.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOV and W293CX 106.5 live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for all things gardening. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and 950 plus videos. Well, it's the time for peaches, pecans, and blueberries here in southeast Wisconsin, and we picked up our peaches from TreeRipe.com. I went there, what was it, last Wednesday?
Yeah, this past Wednesday, and it was your first time going.
My first time going. There was no limits on the peaches. They were concerned that they had a cold winter or late frost or something like that in Georgia. And these are Georgia peaches that are drove up here, and it was very organized, thorough, walked in, paid for, or they had a truck that drove up in the parking lot, and it was up in the Cedarburg area. Mm-hmm. And everybody's formed
but they have locations all over upper lower Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin, and you can find out more at tree-ripe.com. But those peaches are good. I cut up a couple and brought them with me yesterday. I was off work yesterday. My niece and nephew were, this is delicious. So they are very good. They're not mealy.
There's not a blemish on them.
No, yeah, I've never had a mealy peach from them. So, and their blueberries are nice and good too. From what I've heard, we've never bought them, but I've heard they're really good blueberries standing there.
And the peaches aren't green. It's not like you got to wait 3 weeks for these things to ripe. We got them. They were in a refrigerator truck. We brought them home. We sat them on a table, pulled them out of the box, make sure they separated them. And they all turned, that was Wednesday. By Friday, they were all ready, and we're going to have to can them here in the next day or two. That's what we're going to do. You can freeze them. You don't have to preserve them by.
You could just eat them.
Well, that a half a bushel. That's a
lot of peaches.
I think that's somewhere like 40 or 50, something like that. 30 to 50 peaches, something like that. It's a good amount, and they're good baseball, even larger size peaches. These are not dinky little peaches. So for more information and find out where they're going to be in your area, go to tree-ripe.com, and they'll have you can click on there and go through the prompts, and they'll give you all the locations and when they're coming, and they're going to come back here several more times in the Milwaukee area, too.
And then if you don't want a whole bushel or, well, it's a half bushel, they also go to different farmers markets and sell the smaller portions there as well.
So there you go, tree-ripe.com. It's middle of July, but we are needing to plan to plant for fall and get our fall crops in the ground and some of the second crops of our summer items here. And we're going to go through – now, not all of these, and we'll kind of pick out the ones that we're talking about here. Not all of these we can just go in the garden right now, plant, and have them ready for fall. Some of these we got to wait a few weeks to plant because they are short day sensitive, as well as they do not do well when it's very, very hot, some of these leafy greens and cooler weather crops. But first, we have already planted our peas for fall. That can be done right now, no problem at all. As the days get shorter, the peas like that in the fall time and cooler, they will be ready.
And we replace the garlic with the peas. So that's something to think about is as you're planting for fall, if you're pulling things out now, what can you replace?
Like when we harvest the potatoes in a couple of weeks, one bed will be for fall garlic. The other bed will be for rutabagas and turnips, which we have found do not do good in spring. That was one of the fails that we didn't mention in the first segment was rutabaga or it was spring turnips. We just can't get them to grow. We've had phenomenal success in growing them in the fall, and we always plant those about the first weekish of August. Rutabagas take 90 days. Turnips take 60 days to reach maturity, and that's something we can plant here in the next couple of weeks. I wouldn't recommend planting them right now.
Another thing you can consider doing is brassicas. So that includes broccoli, cauliflower, and kale. Now, we don't do broccoli or cauliflower. We do the kale, and our kale is doing well from the spring, so
And you don't have to start those indoors like we would in the spring. You can simply designate an area in your garden, put the seeds in the ground, let them go, and they'll grow just fine. There's no needing to start seeds to transplant them. You can eliminate that step because outside is warm, and they will grow just fine. If you want to try to grow okra, that's going to be questionable because it takes 12 weeks. It will grow, and it will produce up to 12 weeks. So you can probably get that in the ground, and you'll still get something off of it. I don't think it'll be as good as it was if we – we planted ours about 4 weeks ago. About 4 weeks ago we planted ours. But you can certainly put that in the ground. You will get something. You won't get it as prolific because I think the cool weather will get to it by the end of the season, and it's a very warm weather crop. Now, arugula, on the other hand, we want to hold off on that for a little while, but it can be planted in the fall. You can get baby leaves in 21 days. You can get full plants in 40 days. And this is a cool weather crop. The heat will cause it, and the day length will cause it to bolt or go to seed and get very bitter. So we want to hold off on that and probably wait until September to go ahead and plant those things. Beets and beet greens, we can go and put those right in the ground.
And some of these you can do right now, or you can do between now and the beginning of August. Just keep in mind that, for example, like the broccoli is about 60 days, and same for cauliflower. So if you start them in August and there's a threat for frost come like end of September,
you're okay
because
they can handle that frost.
Right, if it's a light frost.
Right.
But if it's like a freeze or a heavy frost, you're going to want to cover those.
Right. Another thing you can go ahead and you want to wait. We can plant carrots, but we want to wait a little while. Carrots take 70 days to reach maturity, but they do like cooler temperatures. Around the 80-degree mark is where they really like. We'll talk more about that. We have a question about growing carrots at the end of the show. We'll go more in details on that. But carrots is something we can replant again. Some summer crops. Let's talk about summer crops that we can plant a second time now. Bush beans, pole beans. Cucumbers, we can plant again, and they will produce up to frost.
Broccoli rabe, that's usually a spring, or I think it's a spring or summer crop, but it takes about 40 days. We've never grown it, but it is quite popular, so that's an option for you.
Cilantro is on our list, and there's a couple of things. We talked to Shauna Coronado. It was the second show. She does not grow cilantro because it bolts so quickly. If you catch it just right, and Holly, we did this in your sister's front yard. We had a whiskey, half of a whiskey barrel, and we planted it with herbs, basil, parsley, as well as half of it in cilantro. And because it's in partial shade about 80% of the day, the cilantro is just now going to seed. It has done very, very well. So if you can get that and find that perfect little area in which you can grow that cilantro in that partial shade, it does really, really well. You also can wait until later in fall. So as the days get cooler, it will grow better as well because it doesn't have that heat or that day length that messes it up, that causes it to want to go to seed. Now, I've read and I've seen where some people will grow what is called Mexican cilantro, and I don't know where you get the seeds at, but that's more of a heat-tolerant cilantro compared to what we're accustomed to here in the United States. That's all I really know about, but I'll put that out there.
And then radishes?
Radishes take 30 days. You want to wait
until September. End of September, yeah. Anything like scallions or bunching onions, so you could plant those for fall, or you could plant them later on in the fall for over winter so you get those spring onions.
We want to plant those from seed, or do we want to try to get the seed? The onions and the scallions are a little more difficult to do in the fall for spring, but it can be done.
Well, you could put them in the ground now, yeah. And then by the time you want to do them for over winter, they're going to be ready to do that for over winter.
Leaf lettuce, we want to hold off until middle of August. We've got some romaine lettuce that we've started, and if you can grow that in kind of a partial shade area, you're going to be fine. But again, you don't want to do this in full hot sun because it will affect the plant. The plant will get stressed because of the day length and the heat, and it will go to seed. So you kind of, if you're going to plant any of these, you do want to do a little research and just don't take our word for it, because everybody's growing backyard is different than everybody else's. So there's some, you know, you just don't want to go in blind and go, okay, I'm just going to put them here because I was told to put them. You want to do a little research about these crops, and we'll talk about how to keep the plants from being stressed next week on the program over the summer months. Swiss chard, we can go ahead and plant now. That doesn't affect it. The heat, the day length doesn't bother that at all when it comes to the greens on that. What else do we have here?
Greens.
Yeah, greens just in general. Mm-hmm. We can go ahead and plant that in the next couple of weeks for the fall harvest without any problem at all.
What about something like spinach?
Yes. We can plant them just directly, put the seed right in the ground without any problem at all. We don't have to start the seedling indoors like we would in the spring. What was yours?
Oh, spinach.
Spinach. Again, that's a more sensitive heat day length thing, so we want to plant that about the same time we plant our leaf lettuce. We would plant ours in the middle of August, early September. And the thing here's the thing you want to keep in mind with the lettuce and the spinach. Leaf lettuce, plant a little, get a lot. You want a lot of spinach, plant a lot of spinach to get some. Just the way the way we have found it, leaf lettuce does very, very prolific, a lot of leaves, a lot of structure. You got to plant a lot of spinach to get something, is what we have found.
And then, as we mentioned in the previous segment, turnips and rutabagas, we always plant those in the fall.
August 1st, first week in August is when we plant those, and that works well because the potatoes come out, turnips and rutabagas go in the ground from seed. And again,
so maybe you're not going to plant these this weekend, but thinking forward in the next 2 weeks.
Garden season is not done. You can still get more stuff in. We don't live in Hawaii where we can just grow anything we want any time of year we want. We've got a limited amount of time. We've got to make it count, and we can do a lot of these crops two times and get a double harvest, essentially. So with that being said, don't let your garden just go barren. Put something in the ground here for the fall. And maybe your yard is not as pretty as it should be, and maybe it's because the equipment that you have is not as good as it could be, and Aaron's can help you out with that.
Do you hear that? That's your neighbor shaking in their grass-stained shoes, because Aaron's is about to help you step up your grass-cutting game. Your name is on the mailbox, so the Aaron's name should be on your mower. Heavy-duty steel construction, smarter, smoother controls, professional cutting performance. The only thing we love more than the smell of freshly cut grass is the sweet taste of victory. Aaron's, it comes down to this. Visit Aaron's.com to find your local dealer for lawn and snow removal equipment.
When we come back, single mother and a homesteader and frugal liver, I guess is the term we should call her, Amanda from Freedom Acres will be with us right after this.
Tweet Joey and Holly using hashtag TWVG.
you say? You say Nasala kombucha. It'll put some glide in your stride and some pep in your step. Nasala kombucha. Yeah.
Nasala kombucha makes your body happy. Nasala kombucha makes your body smile.
Garden seeds do not have to cost a fortune. Just 99 cents at migardener.com. With over 300 varieties of non-GMO, heirloom, and organic flower, vegetable, and herb seeds available year-round, pay less and get more seeds. Shipping as low as $2.50. That just makes sense. Go to migardener.com for seeds and gardening needs, tools, and special blend fertilizer. migardener.com. It's that simple. Family owned and operated.
Do you have a problem with deer or small herbivores eating your vegetation? There is a natural solution that is safe for your pets and family. Bobex is the answer. An environmentally friendly solution to protect your plants, will not wash off, and is guaranteed. Bobex Deer was independently tested against 9 known competitors and rated 93% effective, second only to a physical barrier. Bobex can be used on all types of ornamentals, trees, and shrubs. Ask for it by name at your local independent garden center. Find out more. Visit bobex.com. BOBBEX.COM.
Eating natural and organic is not as expensive as it used to be, especially when you shop at Woodman's. They have aisles full of certified organic food, from fruits and vegetables to dairy products and even meat, all at great prices. They even have a huge selection of wheat-free and gluten-free items. I can come to Woodman's and get everything I need all under one roof. My name is Alicia, and I shop at Woodman's.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Berry.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOV and W293CX 106.5. So happy you've joined us on this great Saturday morning here in Milwaukee. The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for all things gardening. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can send us questions. You can tweet us. We'll help you with your garden and your problems. Well, another place that can go, you can go to get help with your problems with landscape, gardening, and everything in between is Blue Mills, the official garden center of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show.
Yeah, Blue Mills is a garden center with a wide variety of plants and garden supplies, a knowledgeable staff that can answer all the gardening questions you need, and they also have anything, planters for your plants. They have they have organic fertilizers and things.
Compost, sand, compost, wood chips.
Native plants. Perennials.
And more knowledge than you know what to do with.
I'm sure in the fall they'll have bulbs and everything that you need. So you can go to bluemills.com. They're at 4930 West Loomis Road in Greenfield, just south of Layton. Or you can call 414-282-4220.
They have an enclosed playground for your children or grandchildren and a coffee shop for your spouse while you or your significant other while you go and look at what you need to make your property more beautified. Well, let's go to the ivyorganics.com hotline, Holly, and bring in our next guest. We're heading down to Texas.
Amanda is a single mom living in the Arlotex area, growing much of her own food and building a homestead on her family's land. She shares her passion for gardening, food preservation, natural and frugal living on her YouTube channel, Freedom Acres. Welcome to the program, Amanda.
Hi.
We're so glad you're taking time out of your busy day to join us on the program and sharing some of your gardening and homesteading and frugal living wisdom with all of us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, recently you were processing your herbs for winter. Now, how do you store your fresh herbs to get the best results for keeping them over the winter?
Well, I used to just hang them upside down in my pantry, but I found like I wasn't using them as effectively as I should or as often as I should. So I started using my food processor to break them down, and now I just keep them in empty glass shaker bottles that I recycled from when I was using store-bought seasonings. And just last week, I posted a video on my YouTube channel where you can see me process those.
So is it, when you're drying or when you're grinding them up in the food processor, is there a point where you don't want to turn into like a – do you want to go to a powder or do you want at least to have some kind of chunks there when you're doing that?
By pulsing it, it doesn't seem to break down all the way. I like them to have flakes, but it's really personal preference. Some people prefer a powder.
Okay.
It's just individual.
Okay. So you're a single mom with a toddler. How do you balance the homestead by yourself and being a single parent?
Well, to be fair, I'm not doing this alone. I am on my parent plan, and they help me considerably with her. If I'm doing anything dangerous or, you know, I'm building something, my daughter stays with them up near the house, and so that helps me considerably. But most of the time, she is with me, and she likes to snap beans. She likes to play in the dirt, so she's with me all the time. I find that by keeping her busy, it makes me more available to do the things that I have to do. We also don't have livestock yet. We're still working on a chicken coop and things like that. So right now it's mostly just gardening and food preservation.
So, like, does she, when you take her to the garden, because you've got on your videos a decent-sized garden, does she, like, want to be in the garden, or does she, like, I don't want to go type of attitude?
Oh, she loves it. Like any toddler, she loves to play in the dirt. She likes to follow bugs and pick up rocks and pile them up. And I find that by keeping her engaged, it makes it much easier for me. So we talk, we sing. She wants to know what we're doing. So I say, oh, well, this is okra, baby. You love fried okra. This is where it comes from. And that really keeps her interest.
That's great. Now, for those who don't know, what are essential oils?
Essential oils are just pure liquid extracts that are steam released or pressed from plants. They have therapeutic properties that support wellness and soothe many health concerns, but I also use them in my garden.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how do you use them in your garden, and then how do you see the effects of that result by using them in the garden?
More than anything in my garden, I use them as a pest control, white flies, slugs, worms, things like that. It's a deterrent. So I use cedar wood, rosemary, and peppermint every single week in a spray with water. And I spray the leaves and at the base by the soil. And that has helped considerably with those pests.
Because it messes up the pest sensors, and they don't understand the smell, and then they go like to your neighbor's yard and garden and destroy it instead of yours.
So, aside from your garden, why else would you encourage people to use essential oils?
Well, they have helped me considerably in my health. By age 19, I was on multiple medications and not doing very good. But as I've transitioned to this lifestyle, growing my own food, using essential oils to support my body's natural functions, it's just really helped me a lot in clarity of mind, in weight loss, in motivation in so many different areas. The face of healthcare really is changing right now in our country, and I feel like essential oils, when you're using a pure therapeutic grade, you're able to get at the front of that and really take care of issues at home. And at the core of homesteading is the idea that you should be able to take care of yourself at home.
Right, and I just want to put a disclaimer out there. If you're, you know, we're not doctors, but Holly and I and Amanda, you've seen the benefits of what essential oils can do for simple sinus infections or stomach aches or a number of different ailments that our listeners, I would encourage to at least look into the possibility of what essential oils may be good for certain ailments or illnesses that could save them a trip to the doctor or just get drugs that are not really suited for that particular situation.
Certainly. And something that I've made available to your listeners today is a free ebook from me. So if you guys are more interested in oils and want to learn more about how to use them and what they're good for, contact me on Facebook at Freedom Acres and then the numeral 1, Freedom Acres 1. And if you send me a message, I can get that ebook out to you guys. And then I also have a gardening class on Facebook on Tuesday night that you guys can go to learn more about how to use those oils in your garden specifically.
Well, there you go. So you are on the journey of creating a homestead, everything you need in one spot, essentially what a homestead is. Grow your own food, your meats, all that. Maybe our listeners are not in that same mindset of, hey, I want to have a homestead, but maybe they want to have a large garden in their backyard, or a young listener wants to start gardening, but their parents are totally against it. you kind of fell in this kind of realm where your parents didn't say that you're crazy, but they didn't really support you in the whole homestead journey at the beginning. How can our listeners who maybe want to go on a journey such as growing as much food as they can or creating a mini homestead in the city, how do you get everybody on board who are is resistant or may think you are just fell off the crazy train?
Well, that's a really great question. In the beginning, I think they did kind of think I was a little out there. I don't think they thought that I could really do this or that I would do this. Or I think they thought I'd change my mind when I saw how much hard work this was. But really what helped us the most, I think, was finding a common ground. My daughter's life is number one priority on this at this home site. Everything that any of us do really goes back to making sure she has the best quality of life that she can have. And in our home, we believe that that is best, or her life will be the best with mom at home instead of sending her to daycare. So when I approached them with this idea, I said, look, I think that I can grow enough food that it can lower our grocery budget enough that I can stay at home. And so they said, okay, well, let's see. Let's just try it. And so I stayed home. And just grew as much as I could, and they started to see a difference in their health. All of our health had improved. The quality of our food was better. There was more food. I was preserving food for winter. Our grocery budget was affected. Really, right now, mostly what we're buying is meat and dairy. Most of the vegetables that we consume are from here, and most of our fruit comes from U-Pick Farms that we go to in the area, which saves on our grocery budget, too. So really finding a common ground and realizing it would make a better life for my daughter is where we started.
Did you grow up with a garden with your family, or was this a whole new thing for your parents?
Well, my dad is from the city. My mom grew up with a garden. As a child, we had a garden off and on, a couple of tomato plants, things like that, but nothing on the scale that we're doing now. And I remember once as a teenager, my mom sent me back in the hell and called me Zsa Zsa Gabor. She said, you're not suited for this, because I absolutely refused to do weeds. I didn't want to be in the dirt, so they really didn't think I would ever do this.
And to fast forward a number of years now, your dad's from the city, but he's now purchased tractor, brush hog, cultivators, in order to help your garden produce more and allow you to spend less time in the garden, more time preserving the food and with your daughter.
Right. Well, once they saw that our quality of life was improving and our budget was having a little more flex room, it made sense to keep supporting this, because I keep growing more and doing more. And once we get animals on the homestead, we're going to be more self-sufficient, and that made a difference.
And with this little journey, a bonus thing of this was that you've lost a lot of weight over the last couple of years, and that wasn't even part of the whole, hey, here I'm doing this because of weight loss thing.
Right. I was a size 18 when my daughter was born. Now I'm a 5.
Over what a two-year period of all this consistent work. Now, true enough, you're in Texas, and you get a lot more warm days than we do here in Wisconsin. But the journey and the information is still universal.
Oh, certainly, yes. And I would encourage any mom, single or otherwise, if you have a dream, if it's your dream to stay home with your children, I would seriously consider growing some of your own food. It may make enough dent in your budget that you can do that. I don't believe any mom, single or otherwise, should have to work outside the home if being a homemaker is her dream. And by doing this and my YouTube channel and getting into essential oils and things like that, I'm actually now working on a secondary income. So not only am I growing my own food now, I'm also creating an income that will last into the future and support us forever.
That's fantastic. Now, if people want to watch your videos and follow your journey, and as you mentioned, that ebook, how can they find you?
Sure. I'm on Freedom Acres pretty much everywhere. I'm on YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook. Just as Freedom Acres, and you'll see my picture there.
Well, Amanda, we greatly appreciate you taking time out of your day to share some of your gardening, homesteading, and essential oil wisdom, frugal living, with all of us and our listeners.
Certainly. Thank you so much for having me on. And if you guys are interested in that ebook, definitely let me know via a message.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Amanda.
And we'll be right back after these messages with your garden questions and our garden answers.
Have a gardening question? You can call into the ivorganic.com hotline at 414-444-5250 right now.
Hodgson Mill, 125 years of experience producing stone ground organic flour and cornmeal made from premium quality whole grains. Family owned company, continual standards that are non-GMO, organic at the highest safety levels, offering a wide variety of flours, pasta, baking mixes, flaxseed, and more, even kosher and gluten-free options. Found at most local grocers like Woodman's. For more information and recipes, visit HodgsonMill.com. That's HodgsonMill.com.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com.
Do you have a little space to grow? Check out Greenstock Vertical Gardens at GreenstockGarden.com. Greenstock is engineered to grow with its innovative space and water-saving design. You can grow vegetables, flowers, herbs, and even strawberries in just 2 square feet of space. Grow up instead of out. Perfect for the porch, patio, or deck. Grow up to 30 plants in a small space. GreenstockGarden.com has everything you need to grow in the littlest of spaces. Proudly made in the USA. For more information and to purchase, visit GreenstockGarden.com.
Hi, I'm John Lewandowski, retail manager of Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. Now, I'm not going to tell you about our awesome dome-grown plants, our beautiful pottery, or our 40 varieties of landscape materials. What I am going to tell you is that Blue Mel's is a local, independent, family-owned garden center that truly cares about your garden or landscape project. So if you're looking for that one garden center that actually cares about you, come to Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. We've been treating our customers like family since 1955.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
Back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show.
And you're absolutely right about the tomatoes. Next to a very good woman, tomatoes come in a close second.
With your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, your destination for all things gardening, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, 950 videos, and a whole lot more. Well, we have a whole lot of questions to get to, and if you have a question, you can certainly call in on the ivyorganics.com hotline, and we will do our best to get you an answer.
Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents, protects newly installed plants and trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit ivyorganics.com, and you can call in at 414-444-5250.
Number of questions that come in on TWVG Radio, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. They just come in all over the place. And we're going to address a couple of them. One is about a fungus.
Okay, so this fungus, they found that is white in piles, but it disappears by the end of the day. And that is what is called dog vomit fungus. What a lovely name.
It looks just like dog vomit. And that's not the scientific term, but that is the term that is given to it. It's harmless, and it adds good microbes to the soil. It's a sign of good microbial life, and you want to be careful. It can change colors. It's a several different color stages. It's very slippery when it's wet, and if you step on it, you got to be careful, but it will dissipate. It'll come in the morning, and it'll be gone by the afternoon. And it almost sometimes, a moist wood chips, you'll get a lot of it on, or really moist, like a mulch, you'll sometimes get that on it as well. It's nothing bad.
You can hose it off. It's not going to have a negative effect on your plants. But if it's an area like wood chips, you can try to hose it off, rake it off, let it, if you can get it to dry up, you can just flake it off.
I would just leave it alone.
Or you can just leave it alone. But if it bothers you.
Or you have children or pets or something like that, you want to remove it. But overall, it doesn't affect anything. It's actually good. And it will be fine, but that's what it looks like. It looks like a pile of unpleasant dog vomit. That's
And then we had a Facebook question come in, and I don't know, right after the second break. What might cause zucchini plants to grow zucchini most of the way healthy and then cause the not ripe ones to rot at the end and fall off?
We have this problem occasionally, and what that is the result of is we get them about 2-3 inches long, and then the flower end begins to turn black, brown, and then the whole unit rots. 99.9% of the time, that is a lack of poor pollination. Because the flower tip didn't get pollinated correctly or enough, that causes the rest of the fruit to begin to die back. And that's the same thing you'll see on cucumbers. At occasion, the tip end is very oddly shaped. That's a poor pollination. Now, some people will say, oh, that's a lack of calcium, and that may potentially be. But if you're watering enough, if you're watering and keeping the soil moist, the calcium, you'll have plenty of calcium in your soil, and it would be able to take up the necessary calcium in order to grow the fruit correctly. Same thing with tomatoes, that, you know, the blossom end rot, lack of calcium availability. Right. But 99% of the time, it's a poor pollination. So how do we fix that? We can hand pollinate. We can take the male flower and pollinate the female flower at the time that they open up, which can be a challenge. It can be a pain if you don't have enough beneficial insects in your garden to do that for you.
But if you want nice zucchini, it is something that you might want to do.
And we've seen this happen more like the first 2 or 3 weeks of production rather than the last portion of the year. So more of the insects get in the garden midway through the summer. How about this one, Holly? How long should you wait to plant in an area that was exposed to herbicides?
So if you're essentially wanting to grow completely organic, you would want to wait 3 years for that soil to be considered clean again. And so what you could do at the time is you could plant a cover crop. What's a good cover crop, Joey?
Clover.
Clover, there we go.
Bush beans, any type of beans. Legumes, anything that will add nitrogen to that soil. But
right, so you could plant a cover crop there, or you could just let it be, but it's going to take 3 years. And that's either for herbicides or pesticides, anything synthetic that has been added to that area.
You can also go to online and go to your favorite search engine, and what is it? Search killer compost. Joe Lampo, who was a guest on the program, has a great article about what he did and what happened to him in this exact situation and how he was able to reverse that herbicide in the soil that allowed him to grow in his raised beds again because he got toxic compost.
Definitely. So let's see here. What varieties of garlic do you grow?
We harvested last week. We grow 4 different varieties. We grow a Purple Galaxy, a Spanish Roja, German Hardy, and a Georgia Crystal. Now, these are all hardneck garlics. Now, you can choose to grow hardneck or softneck here in Wisconsin. We choose to grow a hardneck due to the fact that they're more suitable for our colder climates than the softneck. But they will both grow, but we've always had success with the hardneck. And you can get these from garlic suppliers here in the fall, and we'll talk all about planting garlic in one of these upcoming programs.
And one thing I was going to mention, we haven't tried this, but I've heard really good things about elephant garlic.
It's not technically a garlic.
Well, it's not technically garlic, right. But it's something that might be fun to grow because it's a little bit, it's more like an onion, technically. But
about baseball size is whenever you harvest it, typically 4 cloves, maybe 5. But it's related to the leek and not technically a garlic. It has garlic flavor, yes, but it's not a family member.
All right, well, it's part of the allium family, so it's still part of that family, but that's something that maybe, you know, you could try as well.
Okay. What fertilizers do you use, and what do you recommend? Well, first of all, we use only organic fertilizer, and what fertilizers do we use?
We use Sustain fertilizer, and that's made with, what is that made with?
Derived from turkey droppings and pine bark.
Yeah, pine
it's bark. Not a mined product at all. So nobody's going in the earth and destroying the ecosystem, you know, 700 feet below to get rock phosphate or any of this stuff, however deep that is. It's a natural, less impact on the environment. And you can find that at Blue Mel's Landscape Garden Center over there.
And that's spelled, if you're curious, it's spelled S-U-S-T-A-N-E. Not the traditional spelling of Sustain, so something to check out. And we, as Joey had mentioned, we do the organics, and that's what we recommend. How important is it to soak seeds before you plant them? Does it really make a difference?
It depends on what you're planting. Obviously, it's very difficult to soak tiny radish seeds or carrot seeds. You don't necessarily have to soak any seeds. But if you soak seeds such as okra or pepper seeds or bean seeds, for that matter, larger pumpkin seeds, it can increase the germination by up to 5 days. By soaking the seed is in a dormancy stage at a very low moisture percentage. And by soaking it the larger the seed, the longer the time it needs to be soaked, it's going to hydrate the internal portions of that seed and get the seed going to where it will begin its germination process very, very quickly. Peas are another one you can pre-soak early. But it'll get it going much, much quicker. And 5 days earlier, based on the time of year, or maybe you got bugs problems or whatever, that can affect, 5 days earlier means 5 days earlier to harvest means maybe a little bit more produce. Corn is another one you can pre-soak. You can soak any seeds, like I said, but the larger ones are much easier to soak in just regular water. You can make a compost tea. For okra, it's got a very, very thick seed coating, and some of these do have very thick seed coatings. You can soak them for several hours in whole milk, and that acid in the milk will help eat away that seed coating, and that will help the seed germination even quicker that way.
So how long should it take for garlic to cure dry, and what is the most effective way?
It all determines on how the environment is around the garlic that is being cured. First of all, to cure garlic, we harvest it, we leave the stalk intact, and it's recommended to bundle, or you can hang them individually. We'll bundle them 5 to 10 in a pack, tie them off, and hang them horizontal or a vertical in our spare bedroom with the windows open. We don't have any vampires in there because of that. And it may take, based on the humidity, the warmth, whatever, it can take 2 to 6 weeks to dry. And what you're wanting to look for is that stalk to be completely dry. All that energy from the green goes into the bulb, which intensifies the flavor. At the time that it is completely dry, then you can trim the roots and trim the stalk back to 2 or 3 inches above the bulb and store it that way.
So whatever you do, you want to keep it basically out of direct sunlight. You want some air circulation.
An open garage, an eave of a porch, something like that. No direct sunlight, no moisture to get on it. Otherwise, it will ruin it or cause.
And you can use it if you harvest your garlic today, you can use it today. We're curing it so that we can have it for long-term storage.
Absolutely. Here's the question about carrots we talked about earlier. When do you think is a good time to plant carrots in Zone 5A? Well, we would wait until about middle of August. They take 70 days. That would push you back to a little later in October, and we kind of push the time there because last year we had a long season. This year we may not have as long of a season, but you kind of want your daytime temperatures to be an average of about 75 degrees Fahrenheit, and the nighttime temperatures not to drop below about 55, and that's ideal, perfect conditions for your carrots to grow and get big and bulky. And we would recommend growing them in a container so you can have very large roots to grow, and instead of you may not have the best soil to grow them in the ground. Well, this program is comes to you each week by great companies that write the check to pay the bill so we can be on the air, just like
Nacelle Kombucha is the executive sponsor of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Nacelle is made in Wisconsin with local tea and natural herbs. Look for it in the refrigerator aisle at your local grocer. If you don't see it, ask for it, because if it's not Nacelle Kombucha, it's not kombucha. You can find out more at nacelle.com.
Programming note, coming up next week on the program, we're getting into the hottest portion of the year, late July and August. We're going to talk about how to keep your plants stress-free or minimal amount of stress on your plants. Also, one problem that many people have during the summer months is too much zucchini. We're going to go over about 4 or 5 things that you can do with zucchini besides eating it. We've got some unique ways of preserving it and hiding it in food where people don't know it's zucchini. As well as horticultural expert, and she is the co-host of Doug Oster, who was on the program several weeks ago, Jessica Walliser from Philadelphia. She's a horticultural expert, and she'll talk all about what we should be doing and the science behind why we are doing it and some of the things we need to look for in our summer garden. as well as miss any portion of this program or want to revisit it in its entirety, you can find that under the radio tab on the website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, where there is full-length podcast and in-studio video of every show we do, as well as if you're looking for specific interviews or certain topics, you can find that underneath the highlight tab on the right-hand side of the page. For
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and until next week, we will see you in the garden.